Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
One of the most connected women in New York City is 86 years old, goes to work every weekday, and trades in helping her clients lead better lives while looking their very best. Betty Halbreich, a personal shopper who has worked at Story Department Store Bergdorf Goodman for over 40 years, for the first time tells her life story in I'll Drink to That, A Life in Fashion with a Twist. It is published by Penguin Press, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Betty Halbreich to the program. Thank you very much for being with us.
Well, thank you. I'm ever so pleased. I am a real listener to the programs, and I feel overwhelmed. But I have to correct you.
Yes.
I'm only going to be here 37 years in September.
37 years.
Only 37, not 40. I don't know if I'm going to make it to 40.
What brought you there in the first place?
Well, it's sort of a sad story that brought me here. I was in great need mentally, physically, and a very good friend had just started to work here in a very large capacity as a vice president of the company, and she coerced me into coming into retailing. It frightened me to death, I have to tell you. And one of the most frightening things about it was I thought I'd have to, in those days, have to use a cash register, and I'm terrible at math. I don't touch a cash register. I don't touch. I use a telephone, but I don't use a computer, and I don't have a cell phone. So that sort of encapsulates who I am.
What fascinated me about the book, which also tells us a lot about who you are, is how you created your own job at Bergdorf Goodman. I don't know, did you realize that you were doing it in the time? Was it an eyes on the prize kind of thing?
Not at all. I don't work that way. I've always been offered positions, even when I think that I can't even take them because I'm not capable. I've never had a great feeling about my capabilities. I can't step outside of the box and view people as they see me. It's a failing, so that I'm sort of being led along. I didn't have any idea I'd build a business like I did. But look, it took a lot of years. This didn't happen overnight. I've been through a lot of people in my life, a lot who were in the graveyard. And to keep abreast of it and to build and keep building something new has been the challenge. To bring in the young and replace those that are gone, every day's a challenge.
But there has to be, and certainly to have your success and to have it for as many years as you've had it, and to do what you do, there is a confidence. There is a control and a confidence that you possess, that people trust you.
I think trust is the biggest thing in my whole office. If you don't trust me, you don't ever come to me. Because I'm sure you know that I'm known for my one-liners and my brutality to some of my clients. I'm brutal with words, but I hope to be that honesty reigns. It's something that I grew up with, and I think it was instilled in me, and part of me doesn't have the capacity to know how to back away from some of those one-liners, so they just sort of spurt out on the top of my head, and then it's over. Keeping the customer has never been a problem. Challenges at the store. Do you know how many challenges I've been through since I've been here? Oh, dear God. Do you know how many people have owned this store since I've been here? Too innumerable to even mention.
So during all of these sales, you pretty much come with the building, right?
I think I'm holding up the building, in case you're really interested. Or some people think. I think I walked through in a very... I still dress like we dressed 30 years ago. You know, I have a pair of shoes on today, a black dress like we always wore in the summer. The waves sort of part when I walk through, and I don't mean to do this. I think it's my honesty that they can't face sometimes. You know what that is, I'm sure. I mean, some people can't face being honest.
Do you think that your longevity and the fact that you really are helping the place stand is because of, yes, there is that confidence and certainly you have that control, but also maybe a little bit that people are fearful to say anything to you?
Well, I hope they're not fearful, because I'm certainly not afraid to say something to them, and I welcome their retorts.
Mm.
You know, I need help too, don't we all? I mean, none of us stand on the top of the top of the top and say, look, I'm confident, I know I need help. I need help every day, and I get that through my clients. You see, what their answers to me are and their looks, and whether it's their confidence or whatever. I've made some very good friends over the years through the business, a long time.
And your business ultimately becomes fashion and style. It is to make your customers feel good about themselves and to fit them with a fashion and a style that you feel is appropriate for them.
Oh, I think my job is more than that. I think I get into their heads and their hearts as well as long when I'm selling them. I want them to be confident. I want them to have some sort of well-being other than just putting clothes on. There's something very psychological about my business. I mean, I've created it that way. No one told me how to do it. No one's helped me how to do it. It's just sort of, I guess I sort of put myself in their shoes or in their bare feet, as you will, while I'm doing this for them. I mean, I hope I'm doing some good while they're spending that money. You know, this costs a great deal of money to buy clothes today. And I'm very cognizant of that. I'm very, very cognizant of what they spend. I'm very conservative in a very luxurious business.
You detail this in the book, that you live with a moral code, an ethical code that you have in doing your job.
I would have gone berserk if I hadn't, because you can go over the top in a situation. If you see shoes that are $1,100 today, or you see a dress that costs $10,000, one can lose their perspective. My weekends are not spent here. My weekends are spent at the grocery store where I can touch and feel the product and scream at them why they're charging so much for tomatoes when they're falling off the vine. So I have two lives. You know, when I leave here.
So on the weekend, do you think about the fact that no pair of shoes is worth $1,200?
I don't think about anything concerning 58th Street and 5th Avenue when I leave here. My head is wiped clean. I do not carry it home.
And that's hard to do. I mean, I think most people who are in a position, and certainly a high power position, have difficulty with that.
It took me a lot of years to exercise that feeling. I am blessed right now. I can walk out of here and not say, oh, why didn't Mrs. Jones return that dress, or why did she buy it, or why did da-da-da-da? That's wiped away. As soon as I cross Fifth Avenue, head for the bus on 58th and Madison, and I'm on it going home, I have exercised myself of this place. It took a lot of years to do this. I guess that's confidence. You'll probably come back and say to me, she sounds very confident about that.
Mm.
Believe me, I'm not confident. I come back Monday morning, and I come back to those emails, which I detest. And I come back to reality. But over that weekend, I can make soup in the winter and stews, and I can try to bake a pie over the weekend and live in my old apartment that I've lived in for over 60 years, and I live my other life.
And you have the belief, as you outline in the book, you have the belief that through your upbringing and through your professional life, that you can be fashionable, and that doesn't necessarily have to cost a lot of money.
Absolutely. I mean, I can take you to the Gap, or I can take you to Century 21, or I can take you where all the kids shop. I mean, I have a young woman that works for me that looks simply sensational. She can't afford to buy clothes here, even on sale. And every week I say to her, Emily, where'd you get that? She names some place that I'm not even aware of. Of course, it's taste. And you can learn taste if you care about it.
And so now you're finding that much of your clientele is younger, is coming to you for advice and saying, what can I do?
I have a huge coterie of young people that just come in and stare at me. Whether they come from FIT or they come from some of the schools or they come from out of town. I said my greatest, we have a ladies' room on the 7th floor. That seems to be my other office up there whenever I'm up there. And coming out of the ladies' room, I'm walking past the restaurant, I hear, are you Betty? I have no last name. I have lost, well, that's a very difficult one. Anyway,
right.
No last name. Are you Betty is now my name.
How do they know you, do you believe? How do they
I
think?
I don't have a clue. I have the story that I was in Coney Island. I've been in Coney Island twice in my life. Someone dragged me out there to have a hot dog one Sunday. We were coming out of Nathan's, and I hear my name. I thought there must be another Betty on the boardwalk. I don't know anyone in Brooklyn, and I don't know anyone in Coney Island. Two young people spotted me. I don't have a clue. I don't know if it's through Instagram or all that stuff on the computer, because I don't know how to put the computer on to find out. So I'm very pleased with that the young come to me. What? Really pleased.
One of those young fans, Lena Dunham.
Ah. Oh, I adore her. But I like her as a human being. I hope we get our act together and get it on the road, as they say.
Working on a show
project.
Together. Yeah.
Yeah. I think we'll have a good time.
Do you feel that when you look at your life and what you have accomplished, and especially when you have the... when you have the respect of both young and old, of people who are looking for guidance in this field, you still feel that you have things to share with them and guidance to
oh,
give them?
Oh, I have
them.
A lot to share with them, but let's backtrack. I never look at my life the way you're painting it. I don't have that deep feeling about being successful and whatever. It bewilders me. You see, so I don't take it that much to heart. I don't read my press. I didn't read the book. I don't read my press. I mean, I love talking to people like you. I like to get my ideas across, but I don't really believe what they say about me.
So even writing a book and realizing that somebody wanted you to write a book and mm-hmm. to tell your story, that doesn't change your opinion at all.
Of myself?
Yes.
Oh, I have so much more to do.
Yeah.
No, not at all. I hope there's humility attached to this, and I hope I'm getting it across to you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Do you feel that humility is often lost in, I'm going to ask you in the sense of in your industry, in the fashion and style industry, mm-hmm. that humility is often lost, but even in life in general?
There's no question about it. I don't think most people know how to spell the word. I think it's a word that's never used anymore. Do you ever hear it being used? I don't.
Not enough.
You read about it? I don't. I'm a reader. I'm a reader and a listener. No, I don't think people grew up or are being taught about humility. I think that's why the world's in trouble, don't you? A great deal of it. And that's what bothers me. Aside from all of this, I'm very concerned about the circumstances today. I pick up the New York Times, and it frightens me what's going on. So how can I be concerned about me when I see what's happening, that people are dying of a dread disease?
It keeps you humble, but does it also put it into perspective of, yes, this is going on in the world, and I'm trying to sell someone a $900 belt?
You're damn right.
Yeah.
It's a two-edged sword, isn't it?
Sure.
So a lot of what I do is I don't want to use the word rote, and I go in there and I'll help a person. It also helps me distract from a lot of unhappy things that I see around me. I use this job as a means of distraction. I think that sort of tells you how I feel.
And you always have. I mean, you had bouts of depression and even a suicide attempt. I mean, you have used that job as a way of...
It's my safety harbor.
Mm.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I thank God for it, or whoever that person is, or persons, or no persons. I've found some sort of inner, you know, security. And I guess from all the adversity one has to, or one wouldn't be sitting here and looking out this window.
Well, the name of the book is I'll Drink to That, A Life in Style with a Twist. It is published by Penguin Press. Betty Halbreich, it's been a great pleasure to speak to you. I thank you so much for sharing
thank
with
you,
us.
Thank you, Joe. I truly do appreciate it.
Thank you so much. A delight.
Bye-bye.
Again, the title of the book is I'll Drink to That, A Life in Style with a Twist by Betty Halbreich. The book is published by Penguin Press. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.